We have a story about an impending $130 billion deal and what Verizon Wireless is doing with all the cash its subscribers send each month.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Sources are telling Reuters today that a giant deal in the telecom industry could come as early as today. Verizon Wireless is about to buy back a large piece of itself from Europe's Vodafone. Investment bankers who are brokering the deal will be especially pleased with their cut of the gargantuan price tag, $130 billion. That's more than the entire GDP of Hungary, by the way. Verizon Wireless customers will be pleased that all that money they send the company each month is enough to do a deal of this size. Gyani Dunarain is a London-based telecommunications industry analyst with the consulting company Gartner. Ms. Dunarain, good morning.
Good morning, David.
This is a colossally sized deal, if it indeed goes through. Why do you think Verizon Wireless would want to spend the money for this?
Well, Verizon has been doing really well, especially in the past 24 months, in particular after the launch of LTE, being first to market and having been able to reach so many subscribers, increase their adoption of LTE. So they are in the best possible position now, especially taking into account their market valuation, to be able to spend that money. And from a strategic perspective, they do see themselves now independent and being able to really, you know, drive their own strategy.
$130 billion. I just read in the Wall Street Journal that that's more than double the state budget of New Jersey. Have you ever seen numbers like this in your life?
I haven't. Having said that, one thing we need to take into account is, first, they will only get about $100 billion, not $130 billion, right, because of taxes. Are they going to invest all that $100 billion? No, they are not, because they need to do other things. They need to give some of those shareholders a bit of dividends. Then they will also probably use it to pay off a bit of their debt. And then whatever is left, you can start going on your, you know, buying spree.
So it's amazing just how $130 billion can get frittered away. Gyani Dunarain is a telecoms analyst at Gartner in London. Ms. Dunarain, thank you very much.
You're most welcome, David.
Now let's check in with the numbers. Vodafone stock in London is up 4.66% ahead of that apparent deal. The FT 100 is up 1.5% this morning. The Nikkei Index in Tokyo closed up 1.33%. Markets, of course, in the U.S. closed for the holiday. And one more number, as it were, Diana Nyad is less than 10 miles from her goal of swimming from Cuba to Florida without a shark tank. Nyad has attempted this three times in the last 3 years. One more relevant number about Diana, who used to work on the air with us here at Marketplace. She's doing this at the age of 64. Headlines earlier this year giving up on economic growth in China were always an exaggeration, but there's new data showing renewed signs of life from one of the engines of the global economy. A survey of people who do the ordering at factories in China has ticked upward to the highest point in 16 months. Chen Liu is with the Economist Intelligence Unit in Beijing.
If you look at many of the latest economic indicators, a lot of them are pointing to a somewhat better economic situation, suggesting that the worst of the 2013 slowdown may be over. At the same time, the government is also doing more to support the economy. So I would be quite confident to see that this year China's economic growth can achieve within the government initial target of 7.5% growth.
Pair this with the recent news from statisticians in Europe that the long recession there may be formally over. Europe, of course, still has shockingly high unemployment in some of its regions and still has a lot of economic work to do. AAA, the automobile club, figures 34 million people are out there on the roads this Labor Day weekend. That's the highest level since the recession hit in 2008. Many are also trying to fly, where getting a carry-on bag on and off has become a logistical challenge of epic complexity. Reporter Sally Herships looked into this.
The scene, Newark Airport. Overpriced sandwiches, elevator music. That's where I met with two couples who pursue very different boarding strategies. First,
try to push the small and the weak out of the way, and that's usually a good strategy. I'm just joking.
Suraj Gupta and Lindsay Sage are on their way to Seattle. They get as close to the front of the line as possible.
Well, if you've got the rollerboards, you need to get on first. Otherwise, they'll take them from you. But, you know, we're not unethical in the sense that, like, some people come on and they're row 33 and they put their rollerboard, like, above seat 2. I mean, that's just mean.
Sage and Gupta are what are called gate lice, people who crowd the boarding area before their group is called.
Are you guilty?
I think everyone in Newark Airport is.
I feel like I'm becoming like my old Indian parents. I'm at the front of the line. I have to be there first.
You're getting on first.
That's dentures next.
But some passengers prefer to delay the inevitable as long as possible.
I do, actually. I prefer getting on last or near last.
Miriam Everett and her husband Fred, a couple of a certain age, are returning to California after vacation.
I don't see the advantage. Everyone always seems like they're in such a hurry to get on the plane.
Fred, in particular, had a lot to say about the boarding process, beginning with the technical challenges of checking in.
How does an old person get through this, right? What if you can't use a computer? How do you get on a plane?
No one I spoke with at the gate had a perfect solution, but the airlines do. Buy a first-class seat or pay to board early. In Newark, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Consult us digitally at marketplace.org for a story asking if student loan debt will be the next bubble to pop. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.